Consent will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin,
Pastor,
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
We will post the colors, and Senator Metzger will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today's invocation, Pastor Robert Christensen from the Mount Scott Church of God in Portland.
Please join me in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts for a moment as this session begins in order to remember you, our Creator, the maker of all we enjoy and all we need. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a land where prayer is a welcome part of personal, state, and national life. We give thanks that our founding fathers, who came from many theological perspectives to form a nation under God, endorsed the ingredient of prayer in the affairs of state. This day, like so many before, gives freedom for men and women of strong political passion to debate the benefits and liabilities of a wide range of state issues. Guide them, we pray, with a sense of dependence on you. Give each one the gift of wisdom, a spirit of united purpose, and a love for the well-being of the people of this state. From the diversity represented in this chamber, may singularly fair, useful, and beneficial laws and resolutions be brought forth for the betterment of the people, businesses, and natural resources of this great state of Oregon. May our senators, their families, and their staffs be the recipients of your blessings, healing, and help for the needs and challenges of this day. May we be listening for the prompting of your voice within that gives clear counsel regarding what is good for our state. We pray for an awareness today of the potential long-term effects of our words, our lives, and our work. Heavenly Father, more than asking for anything, we pause to offer ourselves for the accomplishment of a work that is greater than our personal interests and more lasting than our personal presence here today. Lord, in a time when funds are low and fear is high, we thank you for the resources of personal integrity, team creativity, and heavenly hope that you've planted within our hearts. Where there may be an atmosphere of pressure, we simply trust that your blessing of peace will enter in. Deliver these public servant leaders from any personal distractions that may hinder them from giving their best effort today. Give us gracious hearts to love those unlike ourselves, and to be gracious toward those who present their needs and their ideas. And Lord, if for this moment we can be one in your sight, we believe that you will blend our differences into great solutions and hope-filled directions as we anticipate a better future. For every one of these dear people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Robert Christensen, for your invocation. Thank you, Senator Rick Metzger, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Round of courtesies, please. Recognize Senator Dave Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. It's my honor today to introduce a constituent from Pendleton, Kevin Hale, who's down here. He's brought his daughter down to a weekend leadership class, I think, at Willamette University or whatever it was. And so he's just popped over for the today. But Kevin Hale from Pendleton, Oregon. It's the Buckaroos, too.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Kevin, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Hope you can stay with us. We're going to discuss a major issue here in a little bit, so it's an honor and privilege to have you in your state capitol, and hope you have a good day. Thank you very much for coming. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I am very honored today to have with me on the floor as guests my brother John Morris and his wife Lynn, who is seated with Senator Burdick. And I would very much appreciate extending courtesies to them. And also, Mr. President, a happy birthday to my brother John would be appropriate. And if you could extend that as President of the Senate, that would be a very special event. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. John and Lynn, we're very pleased you could be here today to join your brother, as well as all of our state senators here on the floor. It's a high honor that you would come here today and be with us. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. John, happy birthday. What's the matter? Anyway, let me do this, please. Distracting already, as usual. Are you the younger or the older brother?
Yes.
Well, I hope the older brother treats you well by taking you to his extraordinary estate in the beautiful country of Canada that could only be reached by boat, that I have seen only by pictures. So I hope, young brother, you get to visit the older brother's extraordinary recreation, second home, that I only know about in my dreams and in pictures. Even though I was on a team with him 2 weeks ago, and he made me wait an hour and a half in the broiling sun in a holding area because he's so slow with his paddle and his canoe. So anyway, John, happy birthday. Glad you're here, Lynn. Hope you have a great birthday. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to sing to you right now because we got somebody else we're going to sing to. And what we'll do, what's the matter, Richard?
No one sings to me.
All right. What we're going to do is we got a state senator's got her birthday here today. So we're going to sing to her. But as we sing to her, we'll think of you, John. That's how we're going to do this. So are there any other courtesies this time? All right. This is Rod Monroe.
Thank you. My next-door neighbor is with me. Reverend Christensen, who gave the prayer today, lives across the street from me, and we have known each other for about 40 years. He's a great preacher, a great minister, a great pastor, and a great neighbor. Please welcome him on the floor.
I've already done that, but thank you again for doing that, Senator Rob Monroe. So I appreciate you also highlighting his presence here today. All right, we're going to sing Happy Birthday, Ted, Senator Ferrioli, Senator Burdick, and Senator Card to Senator Vicky Walker. But as you do, remember the younger brother of Frank Morris, John Morris, it's his birthday too. The younger brother, who we do not know how well he's treated, we do not know how much respect his older brother gives him. I don't know what's going on here, but somebody better get this right soon.
Colleagues, please join us in singing Happy Birthday to Senator Walker and while we think of John.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vicky. Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Okay, that was very nice. Are there other further courtesies at this time? Okay, we'll now go to the order of remonstrances. Are there remonstrances? Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Thank you, Mr. Senate President. I just wanted to tell all of our colleagues here today that in St. Helens today, police are searching for a 3-foot alligator. It was reported missing May 17th by a woman who said her alligator got loose and now they can't find them. The woman is an unofficial alligator dealer. She says she kept the alligator in the garage and accidentally left the door open one night and the alligator wandered off. I spoke to the police chief, Steve Sally, this morning. He says there's been no sightings. They've talked to animal control. They're not evacuating neighborhoods, not really sure what else to do other than to get the information out. Fortunately, the alligator escaped from a home that was in a relatively remote area away from people and pets. The owner says she doesn't know what to do. She fears the animal will die soon without proper care and food. As you know, on this floor, we passed Senate Bill 391 to put people like her out of business. That bill is now pending over in the House, and I thought I would just remind you that this issue is relevant, and law enforcement deal with this every day, and there's a reason we had that bill before us.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, on your desk today, there's a flyer, a brightly colored flyer, dealing with the alcohol recovery fee, a.k.a. beer tax. There are 14 partners involved in this. The Governor's Council on Drug and Alcohol has been dealing with this issue for a number of years. There are some statistics put out by the Pacific Institute of Research and Evaluation, which says that costs the state of Oregon the cost of underage drinking problems, not necessarily to the state, but simply to society, is $724 million a year. It's a very serious problem. Alcohol is probably the worst drug that we have in terms of the damage that it does to most people in our society. And there is an underage drinking problem that we have to address. We're cutting back on alcohol drug counseling. We're closing drug courts, which deal with, it's kind of hard to separate the alcohol and the drug and the mental health problems. And it's time that we address the issue. We have not raised the beer tax in over 30 years. It's one of the lowest in the nation. And I think it's time that we get it. We get something that we can pass on to those most in need, and that would save society and the state a lot of money. So I urge you to take a look at this and support at least small increase in the beer tax this session. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remonstrances? Message from the Governor.
To the Honorable President of the Senate and the Senate's Legislative Assembly, attached to the list of the Governor's appointments to state boards, commissions, subject to Senate confirmation in manner provided by ORS 171562 and ORS 171565. These appointments and reappointments are submitted for your consideration and will be effective on Senate confirmation. Sierra Ten Kongoski, Governor. Praiser Certification Licensure Board, Danine Fry, Philip Johnson. Commission on Asian Affairs, Teresa Furr, Simeon Mamaril. Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Eva Temple. Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Ron Gallinat. Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Heather Van Meter. Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors, Rachel Pilliad.
Are you through?
No. State Board of Higher Education, Matthew Donegan, Brian Fox, Rosemary Powers. Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Cassandra Skinner Lapata. State Marine Board, Richard Allen, Brian Carroll. Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Naomi Coffin Price. State Board of Pharmacy, Kenneth Wells. State Board of Psychology Examiners, Robin Shallcross, Linda Sherman. Oregon Tourism Commission, Jackie Edmonds Mans, Wynn McCormick, Karen Utz. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Eric Quemitz, Patricia Smith, Dan Thorndike. Commissioner for Women, Patricia Clifton.
Message from the House.
Mr. President, Director Speaker, the House has passed. Senate bills 449, 144, 166, 582, 157, 739, 191, 298, 664, 745, 759, 61, 142, 143, 202, 316, 577. House bills 2682 and 3013. Passed the following Senate bills amended by the House. Senate bill 152, 584, 323, Concurrence amendments ring pass House Bills 2137, 2331, 2641, and 2095.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees, reports from the SAR 8.551 committee summary number 108 was distributed to members today. This information will be called in the journal and the state's report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on second and third reading of House Bill 2001 and be made a special order of business immediately.
Senator Devlin has moved that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on the second and third reading of House Bill 2001 and be made a special order of business immediately. To your motion.
Mr. President, I think that this is the best way for us to proceed. The request actually includes that we immediately take this up after we caucus.
If there is no objection, it is so ordered. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2001, relating to transportation and providing for revenue raising, it requires approval by a 3/5 majority, appropriating money, and describing effective date.
Third reading of House measures. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 20-minute caucus in their caucus room, and they will be back here exactly 20 minutes from now.
Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, Republicans need a 20-minute caucus off the floor also.
Okay, thank you. We will now, the Senate will now go into recess till 11:23. That's 20 minutes. Senate is now in recess. Here we go. The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He is here. Are we here? A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of a special order of business and will resume under that order. And it is so ordered. We're now on the third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2001, Relating to Transportation, providing money raising the priority approved by 3 majority, providing money in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. House Bill 2001 represents an investment in Oregon's future. Transportation is the vascular system from which all commerce flows in this state, and it is the lifeblood for business growth and expansion in the state of Oregon. 2001 provides for us the biggest investment in modernization in our transportation system in the history of the state. It offers the greenest investment in the history of transportation in this state. It takes a system that has been deteriorating for the last 16 years, and while not solving the problems, establishes a very, very important mark that we are going to grow this state. We're going to allow for strong communities. We're going to rebuild and build an infrastructure from which businesses can grow and expand and get their goods and services to market. So as this economy turns, as indeed at the time it will, Oregon will have that open sign that we're open for business, that we're competitive to get your goods and services to market, and that Oregon understands how business operates in this state. There are many elements in House Bill 2001, most of which are articulated in your staff measure summary. And if you have questions, I'll go over some of those issues, but I will not go over a section-by-section category. What is important is where Oregon goes. This bill began 2 years ago, at the final moments of the 2007 session, when, as many of you who were here remember, leaders of the Oregon Transportation Commission and the business community were lobbying for a investment in transportation at the end of the 2007 session, and that was led by the late and wonderful Randy Pape. And I would like to say that House Bill 2001 is a tribute to Mr. Pape, because this was the goal that he had hoped to achieve. And now it is coming to fruition, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. Also, what happened at the end of the 2007 session were the two groups who pay for transportation in Oregon. Those people who drive cars, represented by AAA, and those who carry goods and services to market, represented by the Oregon Trucking Association. And those two have often been at war, which is one of the reasons we have had a very difficult time in building our transportation infrastructure. But those two organizations got together. In fact, they got together in my office at the end of 2000 and signed an agreement that we will go arm in arm through the up to and through the 2009 session, working collaboratively to invest in the future business climate of Oregon on transportation. And colleagues, they have been true to their word. And in our transportation meeting, our Joint Transportation Committee that passed this bill last week, both the Oregon Truckers Association and AAA sat together, as they did 2 years ago, and endorsed House Bill 2001 as an investment in Oregon's future. I would like to talk to you a little bit about some of the highlights of this package. Not only does it take many of the projects that the Transportation Commission has identified as key freight bottlenecks, key areas of congestion, and key areas of commerce, but unable to fund, now brings them into reality. It takes progressive transportation thinking by developing a pilot project in the Portland area for congestion pricing. We all know that idling cars contribute greatly to greenhouse gases, and is in the best interest of climate to make sure that that does not happen. This will provide Portland with that opportunity. It provides an opportunity for additional funds for multimodal. And again, one of the biggest investments in non-highway that this legislature has done, with yet another version of Connect Oregon, Connect Oregon 3, where $100 million in non-highway investments, aviation, marine, and rail, dispersed throughout the state of Oregon, meeting critical needs. And thanks to Senator Telfer, another dedication of $5 million, which will leverage 20 times over airport investments from the Federal Aviation Administration through Seattle for investments throughout our rural airports, important investments that increase aviation and provide for an opportunity to compete for those grants. It is amazing, as I traveled the state a year ago, throughout the state and virtually every community represented by all of you today, the words of community leaders, of business leaders, people concerned about community living, about the importance of transportation. And in each part of the state, some of those issues were different. In Coos Bay, it's commerce. It's how do we get lumber? How do we get heavy machinery on rail from Eugene to Coos Bay and the impact that that would have? Important transportation issues. In Northeast Oregon, with the grain growers of Pendleton, looking to have, through our Connect Oregon process, be able to have grain storage so they could access rail line at a time in which their products can be priced effectively to get to market when the rail was ready for them and they were ready for rail. In Portland, traffic congestion, so both major employers and small employers can be able to get their goods to market and be competitive on a per unit price and not stopped because of congestion. And you could look at this throughout the state, whether it's Douglas County or whether it's Southern Oregon, or truck lanes, accelerator lanes coming out of Klamath Falls. These are important issues for each community. And what's really important about Oregon is that they connect together to bring a transportation system that says we are going to build strong communities and we're going to build an infrastructure that will allow businesses to grow and expand. You know, we often talk on this floor about the key role of government. And transportation is one of the primary goals of government. is to provide the infrastructure so that private businesses can grow and thrive. And colleagues, as we all know, when private businesses grow and thrive, they hire workers, and those workers have jobs, and they take out mortgages, and they spend money in their communities, and they pay taxes that then support schools and health care and public safety. This is the investment that not only provides jobs over the next 6 or 7 years of this investment cycle, but provides infrastructure that grows jobs for the next 20 and 30 years, because people can then come in and say, I can live in Redmond and where I want to be, and I can still be successful in the global marketplace because I have a transportation system that works for my company. Transportation is not only jobs, not only infrastructure, but an opportunity to build community. And I want to thank all the members of the Transportation Commission. I want to thank all the stakeholders who have spent 2 years putting together a plan that meets a broad number of expectations. And I won't surprise you or diminish the fact that when you build something this large, that there's always something that someone would like to have a little more of and someone would like to have a little less of. But let me point out to you, colleagues, as we look today at House Bill 2001, this is the biggest investment in our transportation infrastructure in all quarters that we have ever done in the Oregon legislature. And as my co-chair, who will speak later today on this bill, remembers, when we did OTIA 3 in 2005, our aggressive bridge building program, that the size of this package is actually 2.5 size larger than at that time was the biggest investment in our transportation infrastructure. We've gotten behind Washington. We've gotten behind Idaho. We've gotten behind California in the investment in transportation. And people want to lure those jobs to other states because they have the infrastructure to do that. Finally, I want to address a couple of issues, one of which is, well, why are you identifying particular projects in this bill? And there's an important reason for that. Senator Mary Margaret Haugen, who chairs the House or the Senate Transportation Committee in Washington, came down and addressed us at the Port of Portland about a year and a half ago about they increased, you might remember, the gas tax 13 cents, and it was referred to the voters. But it survived referral, and she said the reason it did is because we told the people of Washington what they were going to buy, and a very skeptical folks of government, as you all know, said we need that and we want it, and they sustained it. And we learned that lesson, and she repeated it again. People don't trust government. You've got to be able to show you're going to do what you're saying you're going to do. And in a poll that we took recently with stakeholders of how Oregon felt, only 8% of Oregonians said they believe we would actually spend the money the way we said we would. And that would, but so by telling people that we are placing this in law, the expectation and their confidence rises significantly. We're going to do what we said we're going to do, just like we did with OTIA 3 when we said we're going to build the bridges we're going to build. This is a bridge to Oregon's future. Colleagues, I urge your support of House Bill 2001.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Discussion. Recognized Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Almost 5 months ago now, I offered a plan to this body on this very floor that I called the Flight Plan for Local Jobs as a way to stimulate the economy and build a foundation for long-term economic growth. The plan would have used a small amount of state money to leverage millions of dollars in federal money to build facility improvements at local airports throughout the state. 5 months later, I am proud to say we have a chance to vote on that concept today. This bill uses a small portion of the lottery bond to leverage those federal dollars and start work on these projects. These projects are planned and ready to go. This is a small investment for a big return, both now in construction jobs and into the future when the finished projects will bring tremendous economic benefit to communities all around Oregon. I'm proud of the fact that this idea is about to become reality. There are nearly 27 projects at state and privately owned airports across Oregon that are ready to start through the Federal Airport Improvement Program with a 5% matching money. This bill will provide to generate $95 million of federal money. That's new money. That's not recycled money. New money to Oregon that will help economic infrastructure construction to begin. Some of the examples of some of these projects are a $29.3 million terminal and taxiway project at Redmond Airport needs $1.465 million in seed money. There's a $1.5 million taxiway construction project at Lakeview Airport. It needs $75,000 to leverage this federal money. There's a $7.5 million runway project in Grants Pass. It needs $50,000 to get that grant money. I appreciate the fact that the majority party has taken into consideration and utilized what I believe is a good idea that will make our state a better place. This is the type of bipartisan collaboration that produces the highest quality legislation and truly represents and benefits all of Oregon. Thank you. I encourage a yes vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. As most of you know, I have served in transportation ever since I was elected to the House of Representatives. It has always been a rewarding experience. I saw the beginning of Connect Oregon, this intermodal transportation idea that came to Oregon that has been very successful. And then there was the addition of bike lanes all through my communities that were new in the thinking of the differences in the mode of travel that we can use in the state of Oregon. And now we're moving into a different way of looking at transportation. We're talking about reducing our carbon footprint and addressing how we are going to be able to financially support this system, because after all, automobiles are getting more and more fuel efficient. House Bill 2001 is the newest transportation package, generating income for Oregonians and paving the way for a better economy. It addresses greenhouse gas emissions, encouraging Oregonians to be thoughtful about not only the miles that they travel, but the time of day that they travel, because it all affects congestion. And what could be worse for the atmosphere than all the congestion where you cannot travel through on the roads? So we're also looking at another alternative way. We're looking at electric cars and electric car charging stations. I would certainly want to hopefully address that these are going to have to be taken in the consideration of the energy needs that we have before we get too excited about charging stations. I'm especially pleased to see the Newburgh-Dundee bypass on the project list. The bottleneck in these communities has been going on for years. If you haven't been in that area at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't think you have any idea of what commuters and travelers are going through. Again, look at the congestion and what that's doing to your environment. While this project is only phase one, it's still going to help a lot of commuters and travelers on the road. There are many handprints on this transportation package. If you remember, the governor started with his committees. You have colleagues that have served on the visioning committee. Senator Rod Monroe was a major player in that. And they helped develop a lot of ideas that have been used in this package. And now the joint transportation committees, both on the House and the Senate side, are approving of this package and encouraging you to approve of it. You know, it is impossible to be all things to all people. I think sometimes those of us in this body try, but believe me, you cannot be. And I believe that this transportation package respects the environment and I believe it also respects your mode of travel. And I'm voting yes.
Thank you, Senator. To recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to declare a conflict of interest, if I may, please.
I was distracted. What, please?
I would like to declare a conflict of interest.
Senator Frank Morris, would you please place in the record a potential conflict of interest that you may have?
Thank you, Mr. President. If this bill passes, I have business interests that will be benefited by this bill, and I would like to declare that, Mr. President.
Thank you. Your potential conflict of interest has now been placed in the record. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Mr. President, I too would rise to declare a potential conflict of interest. This bill will greatly improve the aviation system in Oregon. My husband's aviation business may receive some residual benefit from a vastly improved series and system of airports. The Scappoose Airport, where his business is located, is eligible for federal grants. Thank you.
Your potential conflict of interest, Senator Johnson, has been placed in the record regarding House Bill 2001. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2001 purports to produce about 4,600 jobs. It's kind of interesting to get out your pencil and do a little figuring. At $65,000 per year, 4,600 jobs would require the entire $300 million in order to pay the wages. Under Oregon's prevailing wage laws, back in 2005, the young man or young woman who followed the paving machine with a broom pushing, sweeping up, was making $78,000 a year. So it's difficult for me to understand how this $300 million can produce 4,600 jobs. I understand the primary jobs and the secondary indirect jobs and the tertiary imputed jobs. But how can a model come up with a job creation proposal that actually costs more than the entire $300 million a year to be raised in taxes and fees? Over 20 years, this is a $6 billion investment. And I think we deserve a little better answer, a little closer look at how many jobs will actually be created. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Bruce Starr, who will close on House Bill 2001.
Thank you, Mr. President. Out of inordinate amount of caution, Mr. President, I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict of interest, Senator Starr.
My wife works for an engineering firm that potentially could benefit from the passage of this bill.
Your potential conflict of interest has been placed in the record regarding House Bill 2001. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I appreciate the debate on this bill. This bill is an important bill. This bill is about jobs. It's about jobs now. It's about jobs in the future. Colleagues, we passed this bill. The governor signs it into law. This bill will create an economic foundation from which our state will recover, create that foundation for a strong economy. This bill will create long-term value. There's long-term value in these investments. We're not talking about short-term. We're talking about long-term value. You've got a number of projects listed in this bill. Those are long-term investments that are going to serve Oregonians for decades, Mr. President. It's about putting Oregonians to work. You look back at what this legislature has done in previous legislative sessions in OTIA 1, 2, and 3. OTIA 3 is just wrapping up. You know, the biggest construction seasons is just wrapping up. And so we're following in line with another significant, as the Senator from Mount Hood talked about, the most significant transportation funding package ever in Oregon history to allow for those jobs to continue. This is a balanced package, Mr. President. It invests in needed highway projects. It invests in projects in every corner of the state of Oregon. It treats our transportation system as the system that it is, Mr. President. It's a system of state highways and freeways. It's a system of county roads and city streets. All levels of government will benefit from this particular package. 50-30-20. 50% of the money will stay with the state, 30% of the money will go to the counties, and 20% of the money will go to cities, 50, 30, 20. Every city in the state of Oregon will benefit. Every county in the state of Oregon will benefit. There will be dollars spent in each one of our communities. It's multimodal. Connect Oregon is part of this package. You've heard about that already. There's more dollars in this package for transit, for senior and disabled services, for bikes and pedestrians. There's more dollars in this package for those as well. Mr. President, this is forward-looking. This package looks to the future of the state of Oregon. The congestion pricing pilot that is in this package, specifically in the Portland metropolitan area, is all about the future. It's about funding transportation for the long term, creating innovative and new ways to invest in and solve transportation problems. The asset management pilot. This is important. This is utilizing the private sector to manage the maintenance of our highway system. It's a pilot project, but it's a step in the right direction. Practical design, again, another step in the right direction about building roads that meet the specific need of the specific infrastructure, not a one-size-fits-all standard for every state highway throughout Oregon. Accountability, Mr. President. This bill has significant measures of accountability. One of the biggest, most important, again, that our research told us is important not only to us as legislators but to the public, is that they know where their transportation dollars will be spent. This package contemplates a very thorough and detailed and transparent website, Mr. President. Oregonians will be able to look and see not only where their state dollars are going to be spent, but the dollars that we're asking cities and counties to spend as well. Details about when those projects will be built, how much they're going to cost, who's the contractor that's responsible for those projects. Important information for the public. Mr. President, a lot has been made recently about the project list in this bill. And that is important. Obviously, we're cutting new ground. Why are the projects listed in this bill? Why are we cutting this new ground in this particular bill? It's simple, Mr. President. It's a lack of trust. As the senator from Mount Hood mentioned, the public just doesn't believe that they're going to get the dollars for the projects that they believe need to be spent. This is a direct response to that. We as legislators and the public want to ensure that certain projects get built, and this is how we ensure they get done. Those projects include the state money that you see in the bill. They also, for a significant number of projects, there's going to be local dollars that will help to fund those projects. There's also going to be federal funds that assist to complement the dollars that are in this bill to build those projects. These projects will open up many areas of our state for long-term job creation, opening up industrial areas that currently can't be built because of our transportation planning rule. Mr. President, this is a good package. It's important, but it didn't get here by accident. There's a significant number of individuals that played important roles in bringing this bill to the Senate floor today. Mr. President, I'd like to recognize just a short list of individuals, specifically legislative staff. I couldn't be here without Heidi Altmaier in Legislative Council, Malik Mazin down in Legislative Revenue Office. Our own legislative staff, Mr. Stembridge and Mr. Brennan, played important roles in bringing this bill to us here today. Mr. President, in addition to that, legislators toiled long and hard. It's not by accident that you have a bill that's as thorough and as broad-reaching as this bill is on the Senate floor today. And I'd like to recognize, Mr. President, your own leadership in helping to bring this to the Senate floor, the senator from Mount Hood, the senator from Scappoose, and we had House members as well that played important roles in this. But without the legislative leadership of the members on this floor, we wouldn't be here today. In addition to that, Mr. President, there's significant stakeholder support. That without that support and ongoing work, not only with legislators inside this building, but with their own membership outside the building, nearly universal support among the business community, the State Chambers of Commerce Association organization, AOI, OBA, AGC, as has already been mentioned, the Oregon Trucking Associations and AAA, both are in strong support of this package, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill is neither liberal nor conservative. It's neither urban nor rural. It's not Democrat, it's not Republican. It's all of those things, Mr. President. It's the Oregon legislature responding to the real needs of our state. Colleagues, I ask that you join me as we work to rebuild Oregon. I ask that you vote yes on House Bill 2001. It's a vote that doesn't grow government. It provides jobs for Oregonians and creates economic foundation for the long-term prosperity of our state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Richard Davlin and Senator Vic Metzger and Senator Jackie Winters and many others have demanded a call of the Senate, and the doorkeepers will bar the doors. The Sergeant of Arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here.
All present.
All members subject to the call are present. The question now rises upon the third reading of the final passage of House Bill 2001. Those the opinion bill surpassed say aye as the names are called. And those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
That would you?
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Oh, wait a minute.
Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, Gerard, Cruz, Whitsett, 24 ayes.
House Bill 2001, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Action on executive points requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures.
SCR 17, graduating Coach Daniel Miles of OIT Teen Success Men's Basketball Program.
Transfer to the President for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 5525, Mr. Administration of Oregon Health Licensing Agency and Declaring Emergency. House Bill, Senate Bill 5526, Joint Pension Administration of Oregon Health Licensing Agency and Declaring Emergency.
They passed the calendar. Third reading of the Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 563, will interest due on late payments of property taxes.
Still doing business. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick, please, the carrier of this measure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 563A directs all interest from on delinquent property taxes into the State Property Tax Administration Grant Fund, or is it officially called the County Assessment Function Funding Assistance Account, CAFA. This bill is a product of a work group convened by the Department of Revenue in 2007 and 2008 to identify solutions to destabilize funding of county property tax administration. The Department of Revenue group included representatives of direct stakeholders in property tax assessment and collection, the School Boards Association, Confederation of School Administrators, Community College Association, League of Cities, Special Districts Association, and Association of Counties. Among other things, the group agreed that all interest on delinquent property taxes should be placed into the CAFA. That is what Senate Bill 563A does. County property tax administration, while a little boring to some of us, is important, actually, to all of us, because, among other things, it assesses and collects critical revenues for local and state county shared services, including, in biennial terms, $4 billion for education. The State Assessment and Taxation Funding Program originated in 1989. The Department of Revenue supervises county Assessment and Taxation Administration and the CAFA, which provides some funds for county support. Qualifying counties, those that meet minimum statutory standards, share in the funds proportionally based on the size of their Department of Revenue-approved assessment and taxation budgets. CAFA has not kept up with costs. It was originally intended to cover 35% to 40% of local assessment and taxation costs statewide. It now covers about only 20%. Counties are in no position to backfill this shortfall with very limited county general funds raised locally, the vast majority of which support critical public safety and health services. Senate Bill 563 offers an incremental but necessary investment. It is a highly important element to repairing our sputtering local revenue engine. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 563A and commend the parties who developed this good solution in the work group over the interim. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question on the rise upon the third and final passage of the House. Senate Bill 563. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer. Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munoz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 563. I receive the Council majority declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2682 on commercial security release. House Bill 3013 on ocean resources.
Transfer to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
HJM 10, urging Congress to amend Section 529 of Internal Revenue Code to allow accounts and qualified tuition programs to be used for repayment of student loans. House Bill 2014, with school construction taxes program effective date. House Bill 2105, with purchase of bonds to acquire mercy. House Bill 2139, with a temporary appointment of person to ensure care facility compliance and property money. House Bill 2144, relating to systems of care for youth. House Bill 2177, relating to assets received by Department of Veterans Affairs and acquiring mercy. House Bill 2217, relating to criminal records checks by State Departments and Recreation Department. House Bill 2255, manufactured dwelling park nonprofit cooperatives. House Bill 2426, relating to penalties of revenue under the influence of toxicants. House Bill 2578, relating to towers. House Bill 2744, relating to employee leave for family members of members of military and acquired emergency. House Bill 2962, relating to residential housing. House Bill 2987, relating to child care programs. House Bill 3462, relating to building inspection program personnel.
These are past the calendar. Third reading of House measures. My fellow members, it's my intention to stay here until we finish this calendar, so please be patient. Third reading of House measures. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2093, limit publication of administrative rules and court emergency.
Recognized Senator Mark Haas.
Mr. President, Oregon's monthly bulletin and annual administrative rules compilation are published and printed by the Archives Division of Oregon. At a cost, they are available for purchase. The revenue that is generated is used to continue covering these printing costs. They're also required as of 1995 to be available off the internet. However, as we have all done in all of our lives, more and more people are choosing electronic versions, and so the demand for hard copies has fallen, which is a good thing, but it decreases the revenues, and it's created a situation where the costs are no longer covered by the revenue generated by the hard copy sales. 2093 solves this problem by permitting the Secretary of State to produce these reports in hard copy or electronic forms. It does not take options away from the consumers. The reports will still be available as hard copy by request, as they were before, at a cost. Technology is forcing this change, and this is a way for the state to save money and resources while still delivering this service to Oregonians. I urge your support.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on the rise upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2093. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Berger.
Senator Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
No.
Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters. 18 ayes.
House Bill 2093, Mr. Councilman George, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2349, with value given for release of the land.
Recognize Ms. Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2349A deals with when the Oregon law providing for a subcontractor or subcontractor lien to be placed on property to protect against nonpayment. If there's a dispute, the owner can remove the lien by depositing with the county a bond or money representing 150% of the amount in dispute. But counties have been placed in the middle of these disputes, especially if court orders are not clear and there are conflicts with expectations for account management of the amount in dispute. This bill, House Bill 2349A, will resolve those problems and ambiguities in the current statute. It clarifies that the depositor's entitlement to interest is earned on the deposited funds. It ensures that counties will not be brought into the suit to foreclose the lien or be liable for errors, absent a finding of malfeasance. Describes the contents of the court's order necessary to disperse the funds and establishes a process for the county treasurer to follow when releasing the lien or in the event that the court's order is unclear. Colleagues, the Association of Oregon Counties is supporting this bill. It will help our counties when there are disputes about liens that are placed on properties. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise upon the 30 and final patch, House Bill 2349. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Atkinson, Metzger, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2349, Council Majority Square Pass, Court Reads Bill.
House Bill 2449, on Child Abuse.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsett.
Mr. President, the 2007 legislature enacted Carley's Law. Carley's Law requires a person who is conducting an investigation of alleged child abuse, who observes a child with a suspicious physical injury, and has reasonable suspicion that the injury may have been the result of abuse, to have the injury photographed and to ensure a designated medical professional conducts a medical assessment within 48 hours. Medical assessments by specially trained professionals can find abuse that might be missed by other professionals. The photographs and assessments are used to prosecute the abuser. While this was a tremendous improvement in protecting children from abuse, some of the language created confusion. House Bill 2449 makes it clear that whether the person suspects the injury may be the result of abuse or whether they are certain that it is the result of abuse, they will conduct the medical assessment and photograph the injury. House Bill 2449 states that if after a reasonable effort is made to find a designated medical professional and one cannot be found, then the health care provider can provide the medical assessment. This bill also removes the statutory language requiring application for regional assessment service funds that are not relevant to the services provided. Finally, the bill allows the Crime Victims Compensation Fund to pay for these required medical exams whether or not a finding of abuse is made. This strengthens steps made to protect our children, has no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact. The bill passed the judiciary in the House 8-0, in the Senate 8-5-0, and passed the House 54-3. I urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question now rise upon third reading final passage of House Bill 2449. Those opinion bills passed. Those opposed, clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2449, items. Council majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2453, lawyer-client privilege.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. HB 2453 AA comes to Committee on Judiciary, has no revenue impact, no fiscal, comes out due pass unanimously, extends the authority of client, attorney-client privileges by expanding the definition of the client and defines the representative client as a principal, an officer, a director, client, or person who has the authority to obtain professional legal advice on behalf of the client, to act upon the legal advice, so on and so forth. So basically, in a nutshell, it extends client privileges to other people in the company, like subcontractors, that would be part of the group as designated by the company. Good bill should pass, and Mr. President, I need to declare a conflict of an interest because this bill would directly impact my legal counsels.
Your potential conflict of interest has been placed on the record. Discussion? Question now rises upon third reading and final passage. House Bill 2453. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters.
To the winners.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin.
Sir Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Burdick.
Aye.
Excused. Metzger, 29 ayes.
The House Bill 2453, have received Council majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2560, relating to County Clerk re-recording of instruments.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just making sure I have the right folder. House Bill 2560 creates a procedure for re-recording certified copies of recording documents. This bill will create a uniform statewide process for correcting copies of documents while leaving the original documents unaltered. It's passed the House and Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously, has no revenue and minimal fiscal. I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question arises by the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2560. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters.
Orders.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Metzger, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2560, I've received Council majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2614, relating to rented dwelling units in floodplains.
Recognize Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2614 from the Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This is a very simple bill. It just requires landlords to notify their tenants if a property or dwelling is in a 100-year floodplain. That protection currently applies to people that buy properties. It extends the same protection to renters, and I urge your support.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two things. First, I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please do so.
I have developed and have land in a 100-year floodplain.
Thank you. That potential conflict's on the record.
Thank you. Colleagues, I was a no vote, and so was Senator George in this committee, and the reason that we're no votes is that the FEMA 100-year flood maps that this is based off of are extremely inaccurate. And furthermore, if you're going to build in a floodplain, you have to build above the floodplain. You have to build, by code, at least 1 foot in almost all communities, sometimes as much as 3 feet above the floodplain. So if we're requiring that, then the whole city of Salem, which flooded in the last major flood, should have to declare that they are in a floodplain as well. So because the FEMA maps are so inaccurate, the line on the FEMA map, the line that tells you where it is, can be as much as 40 feet. So I would urge a no vote. This is just a terrible bill.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris. No, he does not. Senator Bonamici, recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I urge an aye vote on House Bill 2614, and I just want to clarify that the bill has specific information about the floodplain as determined by the National Flood Insurance Program of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And also importantly, colleagues, this does not apply to rental agreements unless they are entered into on or active after the effective date of the 2009 Act. So it's only for rental agreements in the future. It gives important information to those entering into rental agreements, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you for the discussion. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. It became clear as to why I needed to speak on this bill. I asked my staff to investigate what the reference to the National Flood Insurance Program and what data is available if you go to that site. And colleagues, the data is a reference. Your property's flood risk is rated from low to moderate to high, and the data that comes out of that site is not sufficient upon which to base law. The merits of this bill are really not the issue for me. The merits of the bill are, is the bill enforceable, and do we have the data available upon which landowners will know whether they are in the floodplain or out of the floodplain? And based on the reference in the bill, it is not sufficient to make that determination. So, Mr. President, I believe, and colleagues, I believe this bill is ahead of its time. That data may emerge in the future, but as it is today, it is not adequate for a landlord to make that determination. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I just want to point out that there is a case that we relied on in passing this bill. It's Janice Trueway versus Real Estate Agency, and deals with people purchasing flood insurance. So this information is what people rely on in doing that. Clearly, if that's viable, I think the bill is as well. And I would again urge your aye vote and respectfully ask for a call of the Senate.
Senator Rosenbaum has demanded a call of the Senate, and she is joined by Senator Devlin and Senator Bonamici. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant-at-arms will attend. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass.
Go on. We'll have to find him.
Johnson.
He's coming in now.
Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
He's here. We're waiting on one member. We're now not waiting on anyone. All those subject to call are present. The question I rise upon authority in the final passage of House Bill 2614. Those of the opinion bills to pass say aye. The name called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters. 12, 18 ayes.
The House Bill 2614, I received council majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2655, with an adverse assessment of public land.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2655 comes to your committee on judiciary. No revenue, no fiscal. Do pass 5-0. Prohibits a person from obtaining property of a mass transit district by adverse possession. What this bill really does is it simply allows mass transit districts the same property rights as other government entities. I could spend 5 minutes talking about the chicken coop discussion in committee, but I will let the closer do that if she so desires. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, I think I got a signal. Is there a discussion of the measure? Senator Dingfelder, you wish to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will just close by saying that this will close a loophole by exempting mass transit districts from being adversely impacted. It's a good bill. Should pass.
Thank you. Question on the right, final third reading and final passage of House Bill 2655. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter.
Carter.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The House Bill 2655, I have the Council Majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2686, from Child Abuse Reporting.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 2007, pharmacists were added to the statutory definition of health care providers. They were not, however, added to the list of professionals required to report child abuse. House Bill 2686 fixes this oversight and provides immunity from criminal and civil liability for reporting abuse if the report is made in good faith. This bill passed the House 58-0 and the Senate Judiciary 5-0. It has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support this bill. I'm always supporting bills that will increase protections for children. I just simply want to make a note that we're adding all these people to this list of reporters, but we're not adding any requirement that they have to get any kind of training. So I just want to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
Thank you for the discussion. Question on rise upon 30 and final passage of House Bill 2686. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger.
Senator Metzger? Go. Go. Let's keep going.
Okay, again. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, Metzger, 20 ayes.
House Bill 26867 received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2707, the supplemental temporary benefits.
Recognized Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2707B is a bill that addresses the issue of injured workers who have more than one job and need to establish eligibility for supplemental temporary disability benefits and explains how to do that. The bill also directs the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt rules for payment and reimbursements of supplemental temporary disability benefits. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rise. Upon 30, final passage. House Bill 2707. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munoz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, Metzger, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2707, having received Congress majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2789, granted to parole, probation officers, and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2789A came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. This is going to clarify the definition for parole and probation officers for the purposes of carrying handguns, firearms. It also allows for those who have retired in those capacities to be exempted out for prosecution from unlawful possession of those same guns. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion. Of course, I rise by the third reading and final passage. House Bill 2789. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munoz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, Metzger, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2789, Mr. Cousin Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2870, related to motor vehicles.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2870A also came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. This bill, Mr. President, is pretty significant because it's going to add certain crimes such as aggravated vehicular homicide, criminal negligent homicide with a vehicle, or manslaughter in the first and second degree involving a motor vehicle, to the crimes that require permanent driver's license revocation. It also will require that the time of the revocation does not begin until after the person is released from prison. What we learned in our committees is unfortunate that many of these people actually had their revocation occurring while they're in prison, so there really was no sanction because when they came out, they were eligible for their license. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise by 30 and final passage, House Bill 2870. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, President Courtney. Excuse, Boquist, Metzger, Morissette, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2870, having Chief Counsel George declared passed. Senator Walker, for what purpose do you rise?
Can I return to announcements, Mr. President?
Yes, without objection, please return to announcements.
Thank you. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources is scheduled to meet at 1 o'clock. We will still meet, even if we are still on the floor. So if you are hungry, get your lunch and be excused from the floor staff. But we do have committee at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
We'll now return to the regular order of Senate business. We're under the third reading of House members. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2968, with an adherence for suspension of driving privileges.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, House Bill 2968A has come out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. This will allow the Department of Corrections, Department of Transportation to reschedule implied consent hearings where the individual that is being required to come in for the hearing, his attorney is ill or has a scheduled conflict. This is a one-time rescheduling, and it does have to occur within the 45 days of the original hearing date. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Questions? Discussion? Question number about third reading, final passage, House Bill 2968. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Boquist, Metzger, Morissette. 27 ayes.
House Bill 2968. Evidence of Congress Majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 3471. Within the intercounty adoptions of children in custody of VHS.
Recognize Senator Laurie Monis Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3471 comes to us under really tragic circumstances. We had one of our children tragically die in Mexico due to child abuse. She was placed in a home of relatives where the jurisdictions down there really did not oversee her case adequately. This bill will actually... The department is now amending existing policies and procedures to require additional home study that place added emphasis on ensuring that the child's safety. It outlines the communication and coordination plan between the receiving agency and the Department of Human Services should safety threats or troublesome behavior in the home exist. The legislation also requires the department to work with the United States Department of State, this country's central authority for the administration of federal regulations in the Inter-Country Adoption Act of 2000 and the Hague Convention on the Protection of Children and Cooperation in Respect of Inter-Country Adoption. It's just briefly known as Hague Convention. It took effect for this, and this, the rules from the Hague Convention took effect for the state public child welfare agencies on April 1st of this year, and it sets international standards and procedures for adoptions that occur between countries. The Hague Convention is ultimately a multi-country treaty developed to protect children and families who are involved in international adoption and to prevent the sale, abduction, and trafficking of children. It ensures greater protection from exploitation for children, birth parents, and adoptive parents alike. We already passed a bill, Senate Bill 10, which requires the department to develop and implement policy, procedure, and rule that is compliant with the Inter-Country Adoption Act. These two bills will help support the efforts of the Department of Human Services in making and keeping our children safe while placed for adoption outside of the United States. It's too bad that the department has to place so many out. We have 1,000 adoptions a year that occur. Thank you, Mr. President.
You recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Take me out.
Any further discussion? Question on revised final third reading, the final passage of House Bill 3471. Those opinion bills pass. The others opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Martinez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Boquist, Metzger, Morissette, 27 ayes.
House Bill 3471, absent comes from majority, it's third pass. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2247, related liquor licenses.
Recognize Senator Joanne Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. OLCC licensed liquor licensees that allow on-site consumption of alcohol require the licensee to maintain either liquor liability insurance or a surety bond of at least $300,000. All of these OLCC licensees are required to maintain not only the liability insurance, but they are also required to show proof of compliance. House Bill 2247 current statute does not provide the ability to immediately suspend a liquor license prior to a hearing if the licensee fails to maintain either the insurance policy or the bond. The current House Bill 2247 provides the Liquor Control Commission the authority to immediately suspend a license for failing to carry required liability insurance or a surety bond. Licensees still have a right to request a hearing, and their licenses are restored as soon as the required bond or insurance is in place.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise by third reading and final passage, House Bill 2247. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Martinez Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski. Brzezinski.
Senator Brzezinski.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, Metzger, Morissette, 27 ayes.
House Bill 2247, I receive constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2481, relating transfers of real property interest in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2481B prohibits a transfer of fees in CC&Rs. Good bill should pass.
Discussion. Question now, rise upon 30. Question now, rise upon 30. And final passage, House Bill 2481. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk calls the roll.
Gerard.
Do you want to call? Excuse me. Are we calling for?
Gerard.
Sorry.
Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Von Zinnerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Metzger, Morissette, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2481, Aviation Chief Council Majority, is cleared to pass. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2498, we're in the Aviation Safety and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2498A comes to Committee on Judiciary. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact. It creates a crime of endangering an aircraft in the second degree, which a person commits by knowingly possessing a firearm or deadly weapon in the Portland International Airport. Colleagues, this bill started out in the House. It covered virtually every airport in the state of Oregon. And through the good work of Senator Johnson, others in the committee, we've narrowed this down, and it's focused purely on the Port of Portland, which is classified as an airport carrying more than 2 million passengers boarding annually, and it only covers airports that have a TSA-approved security plan, and the area is actually posted restricted access, which is, again, Portland International Airport. And for those members that are concerned, yes, you can still park in the parking lot at Portland International Airport. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Of course, now I have the third reading, final passage of House Bill 2498. Those opinion bills pass the aisle. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Von Zinnerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Metzger, Morissette, Walker, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Girard, 23 ayes.
House Bill 2498, Mr. Council Majority is cleared to pass. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 2506, so in-person sexual regulation by Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists.
Without objection, I'll move it to the bottom of today's calendar. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2671, and it's always disposed in a court emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2671 is a straightforward bill. Clarifies how Metro may use the fees it collects for managing the solid waste system in the Portland metro area. Among many other items, Metro uses its solid waste fees to fund a program that reduces diesel emissions from solid waste collection vehicles. However, last year, attorneys at Metro became concerned that solid waste fees probably could not be spent on this program because of the narrow wording of the statute that describes how Metro can spend those fees. Metro developed a diesel retrofit program with a number of stakeholders, which included local governments, private haulers, the Department of Environmental Quality, and others. All of the stakeholders agreed on the need for this program. However, Metro is concerned that the solid waste fee statute may preclude not only the diesel retrofit program, but also future projects that address other negative environmental impacts of the solid waste system. To correct this, the language in this bill makes it clear that Metro may spend its fees on the diesel retrofit program and other programs that address solid waste environmental impacts. Note that this bill does not allow Metro to spend solid waste fees on activities or projects that are not related to solid waste. This bill also does not authorize Metro to increase fees. It simply clarifies how Metro may use its solid waste fees. The language was negotiated between Metro, the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, and Waste Management, and it came out of the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee unanimously. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? First, now rise upon third reading, final passage of House Bill 2671. Those opinion bills passed. The aisle is opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Von Zinnerson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin,
Devlin,
Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Girard, Hass, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Metzger, Morissette, Walker, voting no, George, Girard, Cruz, 24 ayes.
House Bill 2671, I receive Council Majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2868, Relent Child Care Facilities.
Without objection, I will move the bill to the bottom of today's calendar. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2970, relating to expanding utilization of earned income tax credit in court emergency.
Recognized Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2970, and gross comes from the committee, Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. Colleagues, this is an extremely important bill that will help low-income families. It requires the director of the Housing and Community Services Department to convene an interdepartmental work group to expand the number of people eligible who are claiming the earned income tax credit. You may know that Oregon has a state earned income tax credit that parallels the federal EITC. That credit was once referred to by President Ronald Reagan as the best anti-poverty program ever invented. And the only problem is that not everybody who's eligible for it claims it. I think two reasons are predominant for this. People just don't file a tax return is one of those, and also there are additionally other barriers just in filling out the forms. So we know that we can really help low-income families by letting them know that this credit is available and helping them apply for it. That means that we can help children, and primarily the people who are eligible for this credit are families with children. We know that up to 25% of the people eligible are not currently claiming it, so this will help those families, will ultimately help our state, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion recognized, Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I rise and oppose to this bill. Number one, I'm always skeptical when we start putting into statute work groups. Secondly, I'm a no because the Housing Community Services Department completely failed my district in the interim. When we had a chance to help people in low-income situations and we had a problem that we tried to work out between the city government, they were absent. Same sound that crickets make. And I do not, I will not give them the authority to create another work group to come around and study an issue that they have no intention of trying to help on. I urge a no vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Dingfelder, you wish to close? Excuse me, Senator Rosenbaum. I'm sorry. Do you wish to close? Does anybody else wish to close? Question now arises upon the third reading, the final pass, House Bill 2970. Those have been your bills passed. The House president, clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett.
He said aye. No, he said
Winters.
No.
Winters.
No Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Morissette, Walker, voting no, Atkinson, George, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
House Bill 2970, I have the Constitution's majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3022, relying treatment of STDs.
Recognize Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 3022, A. Engrossed, and that comes from the Senate Committee on Health and something. I'm sorry, Health and Veterans Affairs. And, colleagues, this is an extremely important part of the 2009 Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Alliance. This bill is a bill that's about prevention and about public health. It will permit healthcare practitioners to increase access to prescription medication to treat certain sexually transmitted infections by allowing people to get prescriptions not just for themselves but also for their partners. It's a bill that is heavily supported by our State Department of Health and many other advocacy organizations. We know that chlamydia and gonorrhea infections are substantial public health problems, and by treating people immediately, we can prevent these infections from spreading. Oregon, by passing this bill, will join 11 other states that already have such a law, so this will be good for your constituents and good for the health of Oregonians, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion recognized, Senator Lori Moss Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chlamydia and gonorrhea infections are substantial public health problems. We have close to 10,000 cases reported each year. Chlamydia is the most common reportable disease in Oregon. And untreated, these infections lead to severe health consequences, including pelvic inflammatory disease, chronic pelvic pain, tubular pregnancy, and infertility. 15 to 30% of young women with chlamydia become reinfected within 6 months. So to prevent these repeat infections and avoid serious complications, partners must receive timely and appropriate antibiotic treatment. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I voted against this bill in committee, and I'll vote against it on the floor, quite simply because I think it's poor medical practice. For a person to go in and get a prescription for whatever and then say, oh, by the way, can I have prescriptions for that person, and that person, that's what this allows. Now, I know some of that goes on now. I wasn't pointed at anybody in particular back here, okay? It was just a kind of a reference. But colleagues, you know, this is a matter of personal responsibility, and people ought to take the responsibility. I just think it's poor medical practice. I'm not comfortable with allowing a physician to prescribe a drug to a person he has never seen. I think it's wrong. I urge a no vote.
Thank you. Recognize Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Several of you have come and asked me about this bill in the last few minutes, so I want to make my position very clear of why I support this bill. This bill is really about the greater good. Right now, the common practice is when you see someone with a sexually transmitted disease, you'll write the prescription, and it's usually for her, not always, but usually for her, and you commonly write a second prescription or a larger-than-normal prescription because you know you're treating the partner. It's done with a wink and a nod. It's not something that physicians obviously are completely comfortable with, but from the point of view of the greater good, it's the right thing to do. The reality is, so commonly in these cases, if you don't treat both partners immediately, you just continue a reservoir of infection in your community that goes on and on and on. So it's the right thing to do. Is there a slight liability in the situation? Yes, there is. Very small. We had a long discussion about this in committee. And I checked with my insurance carrier in OMA, and they feel the liability is so small that you're doing the greater good here, and you probably have pretty good protection for that. We also discussed the issue of writing a larger-than-normal prescription for somebody who's insured. And are you committing some form of insurance fraud or having trouble with the insurance company? Because obviously the prescription might be used for somebody else. The insurers felt comfortable with this also. Again, the greater good, holding down preventative costs and taking proper care of patients. It's a thorny issue. The good Senator from Roseburg issue, I understand his no vote. But I believe this is the right thing to do in the overall sense of what we're doing here. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 3022. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes, Mr. Snow, clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George,
go on,
Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney,
yes,
excused, Carter, Morissette, Walker, voting no. Boquist, Cruz, Whitsett, 23 ayes.
House Bill 3022, I have discussed the majority declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill.
What happened? Go.
House Bill 3128, related to bonds required by Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
Recognized. Senator Bruce Starr.
Colleagues, House Bill 3128 comes to you unanimously from your Senate Business and Transportation Committee. This bill is a technical fix that will prevent needless expense, time, and effort by small wineries in obtaining and filing unnecessary bonds, and it will also save OLCC time and hassle in reviewing and processing these bonds that have no value to the state. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on rights amount 13 and final pass. House Bill 3128. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes, no clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Monroe.
Go.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, Morissette, Walker. 26 ayes.
House Bill 3128, Emissive Council Majority declared passed. Read the bill.
House Bill 3273, Lynn Domestic Violence Programs.
Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, colleagues. I bring you House Bill 3273, which is another piece from the Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Agenda for this session. This is an extremely important bill dealing with domestic violence and children. The bill simply requires or gives authority for the Department of Human Services to contract with domestic violence providers to place domestic violence advocates at child welfare offices. It does that when funds should become available and therefore has no fiscal impact. Why should we focus on domestic violence and child welfare cases? Well, the Department of Human Services statistics show that domestic violence is a safety threat in 25% to 32% of all child abuse cases in Oregon. Domestic violence, along with substance abuse and mental health concerns, is one of the top three drivers for all founded sex child abuse cases. So we must find a way to address this statewide problem. Colleagues, this bill outlines the best practice model that has worked across the country. It's a bill that carries no fiscal but does represent a very smart public safety policy. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of the House Bill 3273. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, President Courtney, excused, Burdick, Carter, Morissette, Nelson, Walker, 24 ayes.
House Bill 3273, receives constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
House Bill 3348, Winter Church Warrants, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill, House Bill 3348, came out of your Judiciary Committee, came out on a 4-1 vote. Basically, it's going to authorize special agents that are employed by the governor's office. These are people that specifically are working with the Oregon Humane Society to be able to apply for a search warrant directly from a judge in cases that they want to enter property to intervene regarding animal cases. It should be noted that if this is one of these cases where they apply for electronically issued search warrant, would give them the authority upon the judge approving this for them to sign the judge's name onto the warrant so they can execute that warrant immediately. It does have an emergency clause, Mr. President. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield to a question, Bill?
Carrier yield. He will.
Mr. President, the way I read the bill, that it would be possible for special agents to duplicate search warrants without returning to the originator of the search warrant and essentially without limitation. So I'd just like the carrier to address the issue of whether or not I'm incorrectly interpreting the bill, that it would allow the governor's special agents to essentially expand the reach and scope of the original order for a search warrant.
Mr. President, to the good senator from John Day, he is misreading the bill. The proposal, and we had discussions on this, made it very clear that basically the way this works is that instead of having the authority or, let's say, the requirement for a special agent to actually go to a law enforcement agency, who then in turn would go to the judge, we allow the individual from the individual special agents to go directly to the court. Now, this can be done in two different ways. One, they can go in person, and they would be either in the open court or they'd be in the court's chambers, and they'd present the evidence just like any law enforcement officer would do. At that time, if the judge agreed that there was probable cause for them to go forward to issue the search warrant, he or she, the judge, would then sign their name onto the warrant, and then they would return it, and then they would give it to the agent to go and execute. On the other hand, there are many times where these type of cases are going to occur out in the field. You can, in fact, ask for electronic issuance of a warrant. And what that would require, just like it does today for any law enforcement agent, these special agents would have to make contact with the court. The court, from its perspective, wherever it may be housed, could be 100 miles away from where the officer is at in the field, would take the evidence over the phone, would determine whether or not there was, in fact, probable cause. If the judge determined that there was, he or she would instruct the special agent that they had the authority to sign their name onto the warrant and then execute it. Clearly, if any individual, no matter who they were, be a special agent or being a police officer, was to go out and, let's say, ride cowboy and do their own warrants and expand this out, not only would they be violating the law, they'd be violating the court order, and I would hate to be that individual that would go before the court to explain why they violated the court order. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Farioli again.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that clarification. Mr. President, a further question to the carrier.
The carrier. Oh, yes, carrier will yield.
Mr. President, I'd like to have a little bit of a discussion on who it is that could be designated a special agent. The bill indicates to me in the bill summary that special agents employed by the governor could apply for these search warrants, and I would like that clarification to whether that's anybody working for the administrative branch of government or is it somebody employed from the governor's office, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, when you look at the bill, it talks about how these individuals can be appointed. The statutes provide within the statutes how the governor can, in fact, appoint individuals as special agents. Specifically, in this particular case, what we heard within the testimony is that these individuals, if they're ones that are being appointed as special agents to carry out issues or matters that involve the welfare of animals, they would be basically commissioned by the governor's office. They would be employed by the Oregon Humane Society. And what we know is the Oregon Humane Society, on their own dime, are requiring these individuals to go through a certification training program through DPSST. Upon getting that certification and approval that they are, in fact, knowledgeable of the law, understanding how to exercise that law, then they would be able to go out and do the work that they have been commissioned to do. There is this check and balance, and it should be noted just for those who are listening, that the cost of getting trained is being done by the Oregon Humane Society, not by the state of Oregon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
I just am ill at ease with the concept of electronic transfer on a field-based call for a special agent appointed by the governor. I think that anything Oregonians and anything that the legislature does to increase the special nature of the issuance of a search warrant and to keep demanding a due process that meets the highest standards and that requires not only the presentation before a judge, but in person, so that the judge has an opportunity to ask questions and ascertain whether or not there is, in fact, a credible affiant who is the person swearing that there is probable cause to do the search. I just don't think this bill rises to that level. And even though it may just apply to agents who have been appointed to do enforcement on animal control and the like, I don't believe that this is a precedent that we wish to put in law. So, Mr. President, I will be a no.
Further discussion? Senator Nancy, you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. President. Let's just put a couple of other things on the record. Regarding the authority of the governor to appoint the special law enforcement officers, that is found under RRS 131.805. Regarding the good senator from John Day's concern, clearly the court has the discretion and the prerogative to determine whether or not he or she, as the judge, believes that the person, the appellant, is in fact trustworthy, credible, etc. He or she, meaning, again, the judge would have the authority and does have the authority and will retain the authority to say no to anyone who is applying for a warrant by electronic means instead of being in person. That applies not only to these special law enforcement agents that might be commissioned and appointed by the governor, but it also applies to every law enforcement officer in this state. Clearly, the judge, in their capacity, retains the power and the authority to determine before they issue a warrant or have one issued under their name to know whether or not they believe, one, by law, there's probable cause, two, that the person that is swearing out the facts in there are believable and credible. If they don't believe they are, I would expect them to not issue a warrant. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3348. Those opinion bills pass. Alice, post no clerk, please call the roll.
Moore said. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munz Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Burdick, Carter, Dingfelder, Morissette, Nelson, Walker, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Whitsett. 16 ayes.
House Bill 3348, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3474, with garnishments.
Recognized Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3474 passed the House 55-3 and the Senate Judiciary Committee 5-0. Currently, if someone employs a debtor that is required to make a payment under a writ of garnishment, the employer can collect a $1 processing fee for each week a payment is made. House Bill 3474 would increase this to $2 in order to help defray the cost of processing the paycheck and garnisheed wages. The bill has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. Mr. President, this is not an increase in fees as an increase in government fees. It allows a business to recover part of their costs of the action of a garnishee. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Conflict of interest.
Excuse me?
Conflict of interest, Mr. President.
Please note your conflict of interest.
Yeah, Mr. President, I own a business that does garnish some employees' wages and could be impacted by this.
Your potential conflict of interest noted for the record. Further discussion. Question arises upon third reading in the final passage of House Bill 3474. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Wallace Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. Carter. Dingfelder. Morissette. Nelson. Excused. Carter. Dingfelder. Morissette. Nelson. Telfer. Walker. 24 ayes.
House Bill 3475 seems constitutional majority is cleared to pass. Well, I just had a close call. I'm now looking for a signal on this one because it could. All right, this is what's going on. Since everybody's hungry and I'm getting clobbered by everybody, either with looks or with body language. We're going to do one more measure, and then, regrettably, I'm going to have to capitulate to all of you. I will lose to all of you. But you can't exit right away because we've got to have a quorum as we do some first reading of House measures. So don't leave me too soon. So we're going to do one more. Clerk will read the bill.
House Term Resolution
37. You better not lose this.
Designated Dungeness Crab as a official sequestration of Oregon.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Oh, Mr. President, the only thing standing between lunch and you is this bill, H.J.R. 37. Proof positive, Mr. President, that when you are marked as an excused, you get a signed stellar piece of legislation like this. There is actually a very good human story to this bill. This bill started as a class project for Mrs. Busby's fourth grade class at Sunset Primary School in West Lynn. The students were studying states and found that Louisiana had a state crustacean, but the good state of Oregon did not. They learned that because of the way we harvest, the Dungeness crab is the most viable single species fishery in Oregon. The measure is an opportunity for you to get to lunch and to highlight the importance of the Dungeness crab fishery in Oregon. This designates the Dungeness crab as the official crustacean of the state of Oregon. Thank you very much.
Does anybody else wish to discuss the measure about the Dungeness crab? Oh, yeah. Recognize Senator Tiff. No, I want to start with Senator Jackie Winters first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just wanted to remind you that Dungeness crab is excellent in gumbo.
Thank you. Now I recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Mr. President, it just goes to show what happens when you get a bunch of fourth graders in your committee. That's the way to pass bills that you wouldn't otherwise vote for. And I hope that we celebrate with Crab Louie today at lunch.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just standing, but if any of you would like the 40 fourth graders to come and speak to you, I will arrange that.
Yeah, I understand that you're fourth graders. That's why I called you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please. This is the only one left to queue, so here we go.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to this bill. Just, colleagues, as I was disappointed to learn that Bill Markham was not the state fossil of Oregon, I was extremely disappointed when the chair refused to accept my amendment to this bill to name our own dear president, Peter Courtney, as the state crustacean. And because of that refusal, Mr. President, I will be voting no.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Atkinson, do you wish to close?
Please, no.
Question arises upon a third reading and final passage of H.J.R. 37. Those opinion your bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson. Monroe, Morissette, Morse, not answering, Burdick, President Courtney,
yes,
not answering, Montes Anderson, excused, Carter, Dingfelder, Morissette, Nelson, Walker, voting no, Ferrioli, Cruz, 23 ayes.
HGR 37, absent council majority is declared passed. I'd like to go on, but the people are not with me. With that, without objection, the remaining House measures will be carried over to Monday's calendar, which is June 1st. Message from the House, please.
Mr. President, it's from the House to pass Senate Bill 7826-23, House Bills 5002, 2243, and 2034.
Without objection, the Senate will revert to the order of first reading of House measures. So ordered.
House Bill 5002, Land Financial Administration, Oregon Department of Administrative Services, and Appropriate Money and Court Emergency. House Bill 2243, Land Regulation of Licensed Nursing Home and Administration, Appropriate Money and Court Emergency. House Bill 2834, Land Oregon School for the Blind, Appropriate Money and Court Emergency.
To pass the calendar. Other business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 Committee Referral List Number 123, which was distributed to members May 28th. The referrals were recorded in the Journal of the State Department, so ordered. Are there announcements? Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Mr. President, Senate colleagues, Senate rules will meet at 1:55.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans, being on time and under budget, have no announcements to make, and with no new taxes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, my fellow senators, for being willing to go through the noon hour. I know it was not the easiest. I thank you for your patience very much. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 on Monday, which is June 1st. The Senate is now adjourned.